Once again, that school bell reminds us it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. When I hear that bell, in my mind I see the children running toward the little red schoolhouse, making sure they don't want to be late for their studies. And of course, a lot of the studies in those little schoolhouses had to do with necessary but worldly things. And how much more important it is for us to know about spiritual things. This is a Bible school on the air. And when you hear the bell, go run and get your Bibles and be ready to have a Bible lesson and a Bible study. We're studying Bible lessons that were written by E.A. Elam back in 1922. And the lesson today is a lesson written for Sunday, July 16th, 1922. It is a lesson about the handwriting on the wall. And we'll return to that in just a moment. You want to turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. And while you're doing that, let me tell you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And I call myself the superintendent because, well, I organize the studies and determine what it is we're going to study. But I'm really trying to use a teacher from the past, E.A. Elam, to direct us in this. And I'm reading those Sunday school lessons he wrote a long time ago. This is class number 76. And the lesson we're teaching on today is from Daniel chapter 5 on the handwriting on the wall. You may have heard that expression. I think he's seen the handwriting on the wall. The handwriting on the wall was the writing of God. It was talking about what was about to take place, and it was sure that it was going to happen. And so sometime when you say that expression, the handwriting on the wall, you're referring to something that is inevitable, and it finally seen that this is what's going to happen. And so we need to realize that and do something about it. It's interesting that that little expression goes back to the passage of Scripture that we're studying today. And this particular handwriting on the wall had to do with the downfall of Belshazzar, who was ruler in Babylon. And with it, the downfall of Babylon itself. And so in the introduction, we're going to read about the rulers of Babylon and then the beauty and downfall of Babylon. And so let me begin with Elam's notes on page 174. At the time of this lesson, Daniel was an old man. For the 70 years captivity foretold by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 25, 12-14 was drawing to a close. As we have learned, Babylon was taken by Cyrus, king of Persia, and in his first year, that the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, God stirred up his spirit to make proclamation throughout his kingdom that the Jews might return to Jerusalem and build the house of Jehovah, and should receive help from his subjects. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles 36 and in Ezra chapter 1. Nebuchadnezzar was succeeded by his son, Evil-Merodach, who reigned 2 years and was murdered by his brother-in-law, Nergal-Sharezer. Nergal-Sharezer reigned 4 years and was succeeded by his son, Lorboro-Sarakkad, who reigned only 9 months and was murdered. Some state that Nabonidus succeeded Lorboro-Sarakkad and reigned until Babylon was taken by Cyrus, and that Belshazzar was his son and temporary ruler of Babylon at the time of the downfall. Others say that Belshazzar was the son of Evil-Merodach, and hence the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar.
It is also the conjecture of some that Nabonidus married a daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, and that Belshazzar, through his mother, was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. The Bible mentions evil Merodach in 2 Kings 25:27, and Belshazzar in our lesson states that Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's father, verses 11 and 18 of Daniel chapter 5. But that may signify only that Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar's ancestor, father, grandfather, or great-grandfather, etc., as the kings of Judah are called the sons of David, though they're not directly his sons, but his grandsons and great-grandsons and great-great-grandsons. But now let's talk about Babylon itself, its beauty, and its downfall. Any history of Babylon makes the beauty, greatness, and grandeur of that city most apparent. The Bible speaks of its magnificence and glory. It was a time in our lesson in commerce, in wealth, in learning, the greatest city of the world. It is said to have been about 14 miles square, surrounded by two walls, the outer of which, according to the most authentic estimates, was nearly 85 feet thick and about 350 feet high, strengthened with 250 towers and entered by 100 gates of brass with brazen lintels and side posts. It was the strongest fortress in the world. The Bible speaks of broad walls of Babylon and her high gates in Jeremiah 51:58. And in Jeremiah 51:53, we're familiar with the fact that the city was built on both sides of the Euphrates and connected by a great bridge, and that Cyrus entered it by a channel of the river, having turned the water out of its course. The Bible foretold the sudden capture of the city by the Medes and the Persians. Let me read to you what the Bible says about the sudden downfall of Babylon. I'll begin in Isaiah chapter 21 and read the first 9 verses. The burden of the wilderness of the sea. As the whirlwinds in the south sweep through it, it cometh from the wilderness, from a terrible land. A grievous version is declared unto me. The treacherous man dealeth treacherously, and the destroyer destroyeth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sighing thereof I have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with anguish. Pangs have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a woman in travail. I am pained so that I cannot hear. I am dismayed so that I cannot see. My heart fluttereth. Horror hath affrighted me. The twilight that I desired hath been turned into trembling unto me. They prepare the table. They set the watch. They eat. They drink. Rise up, ye princes. Anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. And when he seeth a troop, horsemen in pairs, a troop of asses, a troop of camels, he shall hearken diligently with much heed. And he cried as a lion, O Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights, and behold, here cometh a troop of men, horsemen in pairs. And he answered and said, Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the graven images of her gods are broken to the ground. Another place we read about the downfall of Babylon is in Jeremiah chapter 51. And I'll begin reading in verse 27 and read through verse 32. Jeremiah 51:27-32. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her kingdoms of Ararat, Mene, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal against her. Cause the horses to come up to the rough cankerworm. prepare her against the nations of the kings of the Medes, the governors thereof, and all the deputies thereof, and all the land of their dominion. And the land trembleth and is in pain, for the purpose of Jehovah against Babylon do stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation, without inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They remain in their strongholds. Their might hath failed. They are become as women. Her dwelling places are set on fire. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken in every quarter, and the passages are seized, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war were affrighted. Well, the downfall and utter destruction of the city and empire was minutely foretold. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch his tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their flocks to lie down there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And ostriches shall dwell there, and wild goats shall dance there, and wolves shall cry in their castles, and jackals in the pleasant places. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. That is Isaiah 13:19-22. That is literally true today. The walls of Babylon have fallen. The drought is upon her. Her land is a wilderness. Her cities are a desolation. Wild beasts inhabit the place. The natives regard it as haunted. The wandering Arab will not pinch his tent there, and there the shepherd will not fold his flock. There's another place we read about the downfall of Babylon, but it is in a figure. And it's talking about the downfall, really using the downfall of Babylon to illustrate the downfall of all who come against the Lord. We find this in Revelation 18. And I'll read this until the end of the program. It says in Revelation 18:1, "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, and is become the habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird. For by the wine of the wrath of her fornication all the nations are fallen, and the kings of the earth commit fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth waxed rich by the power of her wantonness. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come forth, my people, out of her, that ye have no fellowship with her sins, that ye may receive not her plagues, for her sins have reached even into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Render unto her even as she rendered, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she mingled, mingled unto her double. How much soever she glorified herself and waxed wanton, so much give her torment and mourning. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and I shall in no wise see mourning. Therefore in one day her plagues come, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and live wantonly with her shall weep and wail over her when they look upon the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour is thy judgment come." That's all we'll have time for today. That kind of fall is the fall of Babylon, is what happens to those that rebel against God. We'll read more about this next class.